playing. But my show's about to go live. I can call you here in a little while. Love you too. Bye. Believe you can hear us. That's always an improvement. As our resident receptionist and mascot, Sunshine, is she's chasing a mouse. Not even gonna hide that. She's chasing a mouse. Tons we're gonna get into today. Cody could not make it. He had a prior engagement. Reggie may join us here soon, which I am highly anticipating because I feel like he's going to have a lot to say about a particular game. And Coach would join us, but a while ago when I talked to him, he sounded as bad as I did last night, which is why this is the first show we're doing all week. I don't know if the other shows will record those tonight after this one. Or if maybe I'll do them Friday or Saturday. I don't know. We're going to do what we can. I'm gonna try not to cough through this entire show. I'm going to try to get to as much stuff as I can. Just a lot to talk about, you know. It may be quick, though. Who knows? I do have everybody... But Reggie's pick. No, I do have everybody's picks. So when we get to that portion, if Reggie has not joined us, then I can go over all of those. As on our screen right now, some New Japan Pro Wrestling. As Naito, who is one of my favorites, against Zack Sabre Jr. If you guys have already seen this, then don't spoil it for the rest of us. A little Chris Jericho action as well. Always good to see Jericho. You guys all know I'm a big wrestling head, so just wanted to get that in there. But welcome to Sports Club. We talk about everything under the sun. We typically keep it with the NFL, especially during the season. Always, we are going to get into some baseball, some United, which is part of why. I had to watch the replay of the Falcons game. I was out at the Atlanta United game last weekend. It was the second leg of the semifinals for the conference, where our Atlanta United picked up the 3-1 victory. They were already up 1-0 because they do it in two parts. They do one game at somebody's home field, and then they do another at the other, and you add everything up. So had New York City, who was who they were playing, had New York City won by a goal in the second leg, then we would have went to a shootout, or well, overtime, then a shootout. But being up 1-0, then winning 3-1, that pretty much puts you at a 4-1. You're all the way in. They'll play the New York Red Bulls coming up. I don't remember exactly when. Is it next weekend? This weekend? Can somebody look that up? Let's see what we got. But yeah, I was able to myself and John Watts from Impact Media here. We had some tickets just kind of fall into our lap. Some friends of ours had something and couldn't go. We were able to take those off our hands. We do pay for our tickets. We were able to take those off their hands. We had a real good time out there. This is his first soccer game, his first pro game, so it's glad to get that one. Looks like the first, there we go, the first leg for Atlanta United will be in New York next Sunday. Okay. That's a 5 p.m. kickoff there. 7:30 kickoff for the first leg of the Western Conference Finals, where the Portland Timbers will be in Kansas City to take on Sporting KC. And then looks like it's on the 25th. So like I said, that's not this weekend, but next weekend. And then the following Thursday is the second leg, where Atlanta will host the New York Red Bulls in Atlanta at 7 p.m. and at 9:30 p.m. the Portland Timbers will host Sporting KC, and that will ultimately decide who goes on to the finals. So, you know, that's a lot of fun. If you've never been to Atlanta United game, I highly recommend that you go check that out, because it is a fantastic experience. The same things I used to say about Turner Field. Is you know, you cannot be a baseball fan and have a good time at Turner Field. I say the same thing about SunTrust Park. As far as Atlanta United games, yeah, you may go not being that big of a fan of soccer, you're gonna have a good time. There's all kinds of stuff. There's interactive stuff. You definitely want to check out the tailgate festivities. There's different stuff in different lots. The more PG family-friendly version is up next to the Giant Falcon, right next to the stadium. That is, it's called the Village, I think. I know plenty of people that go to that. And then and when I say not so family-friendly, I'm not talking in a derogatory. It's like, no, but if your kids are there, you probably want to take them up there. It's probably face painting and some other stuff. And honestly, I don't know, because I go to the second one, which is the Gulch. And down at the Gulch, people shoot off fireworks, like real candles. There's a drum line. There's always music. There's horns. There's many adult beverage vendors down there. Some of them you pay for. Some of them they just ask for tips for the people there. There's all kinds of food. That's where the Soccer Down Here guys are. That's where they do their pregame show. You know, Jason, John, and Jarrett. And the cool thing was I was able to actually meet John and as they – we actually walked right past each other, and I turned around and called Jason out. We actually met in person, because we up until this point, we had never seen each other in person. You know, they knocked that off their bucket list. They have met the Impact and John Megawatts. But, you know, future tag team champions of – sports media. All joking aside, yeah, it was fun. We talked a little bit about it. They were both thinking 2-1. Kind of the cool thing to me in meeting them as well was that once we walked away, John Watts looked at me and he said, "That was John Nelson, right?" And I said, "Yeah." Yeah, and then Jason Longshore, he goes, "Yeah, I know, Jason's on the radio, and John, he goes, I know who John is because he follows a lot of high school sports and stuff like that with what some of the other stuff John does. So I thought that was really cool that we were able to see them. But yeah, in the Gulch, like I said, it's a lot of food. There's vendors. There's all kinds of vendors. It's not rowdy really. It's just there's a lot more chanting and then jumping around. Honestly though, there were kids running around here. There was a couple moonwalks and slides and stuff like that. So, I mean, it seemed pretty family friendly to me. No chaos, no real cussing or, shenanigans or anything. The Gulch is a very awesome place. I need to make it down there for a Falcons game. I believe that's where Reggie hangs out. So I'm gonna have to go down there at some point for that. But yeah, just overall congratulations to the Atlanta United. You can probably hear in my voice, I will probably, much to the chagrin maybe in the delight of many people here at the studio, by the time I finish this show, probably won't do a lot of talking the rest of the night. So like I said, it's starting next week. We're gonna swap some shows around based off some things that occur each week that make it difficult to do the other shows in certain time periods. Well, we're gonna move Board Check to Mondays. I think it's gonna work out a lot better. And the game plan is gonna stay on Wednesdays. No real definite times on those, just somewhere between 7 and 8. We're going to target to do that. We're going to try to get a couple more guests in. I know the college season is slowly winding down, but, you know, is what it is. But, yeah. Once again, congratulations to Atlanta United on that. Let's see if I can get all of them pulled up as far as the all the awards. But I don't want to get some of them wrong. There we go. Your AL MVP is Mookie Betts. No argument there. I agree that it was very close. But, Mookie Betts was the most valuable player this year. Christian Yelich with the Brewers for the NL have no disagreement whatsoever there. Rob Manfred had his contract extended through 2024. The American League Cy Young Award winner was, I think it's Chris Snell. I only know him by Snell or Snelly. And Jacob DeGrom, first time since Felix Hernandez, like 10 years ago, that the Cy Young winner, or that a Cy Young winner won like 10 or fewer games. Yeah, trust me, the Mets did him no favors. And remember, I'm a Mets fan. But congratulations to those guys. Do we get Manager of the Year yet? I know Rookie of the Year, Shohei Ohtani won the AL, and the NL was Ronald Acuna. I think he absolutely deserved that. There we go. Finally, we found some way to attract some of these awards. I told you those. Blake Snell, sorry. Of the Rays, yeah, he had 21 wins and a 1.89 ERA. Yeah. David Price is the only other Rays winner generally Rays winner. Rookie of the Year, I just told you. Here's one for Ohtani. I heard this stat earlier, but he's the first player since Babe Ruth that had 10 pitching appearances and 20 homers in a season. He had 3.31 ERA and 63 strikeouts. That's incredible. He also hit 285. Outstanding. Manager of the Year, yeah, these are exactly what I thought it was, and 100%. Bob Melvin of the Oakland A's. Let's see, this is when Cody should be here, but I'm sure his baseball podcast will probably cover this, and I look forward to that. But Bob Melvin for the A's, absolutely. For what he did with that team wasn't even supposed to compete this year, and my goodness, they were right on everybody. And on the flip side, the National League Manager of the Year, Brian Snicker, right here from Atlanta, 100%. Brian Snicker, unbelievable manager. I thought it's really awesome. I actually met and talked to him back when he was with the Gwinnett, at the time Gwinnett Braves. Now they're the Stripers. They're Fish or something. I'm not sure what they are, honestly. But, yeah, they were doing a big tour thing. You had to meet some Braves players, and I was able to meet some of those and talk with them for a minute. And got to meet Brian Snicker. Just a hell of a guy. And, sure, smart baseball mind. No, he's fun. When he walks in, those guys want to know what he's going to say because they know it's going to be the right thing. But, yeah. Brian Snicker, Bob Melvin. Couldn't think of more deserving people. There's some other people I could have thrown in there, but no. For what they did for their teams, those are two teams that were supposed to, they're supposed to be 2 years down the road, A's possibly even in farther. And yet, they were both on the cusp of actually making pretty good playoff runs. Roberto Clemente Award goes to Yadier Molina. That's almost... I mean, how can you argue that? Yadi has done just some unbelievable things. You know, the award's about representing positive contributions on and off the field. When has he ever did anything negative? That's what I want to know. Probably the only thing negative is the runner's percentage on him. I mean, just outstanding. The Aaron Awards, otherwise known as the batting titles, I believe. J.D. Martinez for the Boston Red Sox in the American League. Hard to argue there. He pretty much gets that because Mookie Betts, his teammate, got the MVP. I mean, either one of those. Christian Yelich makes it a twofer. He gets the National League one. And Executive of the Year, you got to, once again, if Bob Melvin's coach is Billy Beane, Executive of the Year, 100%. Once again, this is a team. They're supposed to be 2 or 3 years away from even being relevant, and they're in the middle of everything. In the middle of everything. I mean, how can you possibly go wrong with that? I can already feel my voice going now. This should be a lot of fun. They hand out the Gold Glove Awards. Freddie Freeman gets one at first base. Ender Inciarte gets one in center. Nick Markakis gets one in right. Okay, I don't have a problem with those. Bunch of A's and Angels and Red Sox. Makes a lot of sense. Not sure what the Platinum Glove is, but Chapman gets that for the American League. Arenado gets that for the National League. I don't know. They keep making up things now. Silver Slugger Awards. Oddly enough, the outfield, one of the outfield positions and the DH positions, J.D. Martinez, I guess he gets two. I'm not sure how that works, but okay. Yeah, Markakis. Markakis in the National League. Good for that guy, right? Good for that guy. Defensive awards. Freddie Freeman gets Defensive Player of the Year at first base. Zach Greinke cleaning up with some of these. Reliever of the Year, American League. It was Edwin Diaz. He had 57 saves and 65 games finished to go with a 1.96 ERA, 124 strikeouts, and that's incredible. And then Josh Hader for the Brewers. He kept the Brewers in it. He was one of them. He had a whip of .81, 143 strikeouts. I mean, how can you go wrong there? Some postseason awards. The World Series MVP, everybody knows, for Steve Pierce. Shout out to him. Jackie Bradley Jr. with the ALCS. The NLCS was Cody Bellinger. Just some overall great awards there. There's a bunch of them. You just go to MLB.com. You can talk. You check out all the ones you want to check out. You can tell me how I messed up somebody's name. That's fine. Let's get into some NFL. Let's start here. Steelers remain a Super Bowl favorite after their Thursday night victory over Carolina, 52-21. Just outstanding performance from them. This is the Steelers team everybody's been waiting to see. And we finally saw them. Let's see here. I mean, you look at the way this offense is humming, the way they just seem to, do whatever they wanted to. And this is a really, really good Carolina team. But there's just, not much they could really do about it. Now that moves us on to Trubisky and Goff are just proving the point that great young head coaches and schemes really help young quarterbacks. I'm not taking away Trubisky's probably a good quarterback on his own. He seems to be. Goff the same way. But you put him in these schemes, it's a wonder people have. I mean, nobody can do anything with these guys. So Trubisky's looking like an MVP. Goff, I mean, he's doing it, been doing it forever, just dominating. But it helps. It helps when you have these great head coaches. I mean, the Shannon, Steven. Look, he's on his third quarterback. He's a guy that was on the practice squad for the entire. Anybody could have got him. And yet, nobody did. Didn't think he was very good. And then look at what Nick Mullins has been doing. But it helps. That's what you have to do. There's too many times. I mean, I think Mark Sanchez is guilty of this. I think he's better than his record would show and, better than perception. I mean, he was drafted to a team that was defense-oriented. He had a couple pieces around him. The line wasn't amazing. When it was, they went to all the way to AFC title games and stuff like that. And when they weren't, he fumbled the ball off the backside of a lineman. Things like that. But you look at these and that's what really makes the difference. It's just, I mean, it's really what makes the difference. Let's see, what else can we get into? No, I mean, no reason to beat the dead horse here. You guys know what I'm talking about. Here we go. Andrew Luck shines again. He has actually, it has actually been four straight games that he has not been sacked. He's probably not sure what's going on, but the Colts looking good. Just, I would watch out for him. Can they catch Houston? Maybe. But they'd have to catch him and beat him. I'm not sure if they're clearly not as complete of a team, but amazing what happens when you have five guys protecting you in front. You have a breakout running back. I mean, the best person he's throwing to is T.Y. Hilton. Past that, even I can't name any of the receivers. But it's good to see Andrew Luck back doing well. Looks like in Baltimore this week we might get Luck. We might see RG3 do some things. Because I think Lamar Jackson's banged up a little bit as well. So, you know, we'll see what we got. The Saints completely caged the Bengals 51-14. This prompted the Marvin Lewis-led Bengals to fire Terrell Austin, their defensive coordinator. I mean, you can't fire yourself. And then in the process of everything, you think, okay, well, they're going to promote from within. And, well, yeah, they did some shuffling here and there. But they also hired Hugh Jackson as special assistant to the head coach. Basically just to give Hugh something to do, and they could probably use a couple extra eyes for some things there. It's good to see he landed so quickly. You know, I guess that is what it is. Good luck to Hugh. He seemed like a good guy in all the interviews. I just don't think he's a good head coach. It's okay. Not everybody can be. The Chiefs were able to hold on to a 26-14 victory versus the Cardinals. Cardinals had a little bit of life, and they were not very far from potentially upsetting the Chiefs, but Chiefs are just too good in the end. But once again, we see them kind of falter a little bit. You know, they can be beaten. The Bills hammered the Jets 41-10. Seemed like these two teams had flipped, because I thought the Jets were showing a lot of promise a couple weeks ago, and I thought the Bills had already mailed in the pick for next year. Now, the Bills did release Nathan Peterman. And statistically this year, he is the worst quarterback. And I'm sure I've made jokes about him. But I think this guy just got a raw deal. And here's what I mean. He's on a team that's not very good. Just told you about Andrew Luck finally getting help. He's, you know, the Bills, yeah, they're not very good. They've got some talent, but they don't have him in the right places, so they're not very good. So how can you expect Nathan Peterman to step in? I mean, last year, you have Tyrod Taylor, at this point, irrelevant Taylor, because he's not playing, but you had him, who led them all the way to the playoff berth. Okay. And then he gets hurt. Well, the team is geared for him. It would be like if you were the backup driver for Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon, NASCAR legend. He's probably 5'8", 5'9". I don't think he's very tall. Most NASCAR guys aren't. Spoiler alert. Not many of them are very tall, because you got to be kind of small to fit in that window to get in that car. There's not much room in that car. Not at all. But, so let's say that Jeff Gordon's 5'9 on a good day, and you're 6'2". Doesn't matter anything past that. And Jeff Gordon somehow can't finish the race, and you have to come in behind him. Well, that car is not only geared, but, I mean, the seat's up, and, you know, just all the specifications are to cater to him. And then you get in, you have to just go with it. You know, think of your significant other. If you don't have one, pretend. They're like, hey, can you take my car to get some new tires? Sure. You go to get in it, and maybe the seat's not in the position you would typically put it in. Radio settings are different. The steering wheel's up when you want it down. Just everything's almost the polar opposite. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's the point I'm making. It's geared towards somebody else, and you're thrust into this scenario, and then everybody makes fun of you and gets mad when it doesn't work. Well, you're on a bad team. You're following up to a team geared to somebody else, and you wonder why Nathan Peterman can't do anything good. I don't think it's his fault. His college numbers weren't bad. His mechanics aren't all that bad. But he's in Buffalo. Who is he learning from? Jared Allen? Not Jared Allen. Josh Allen. Maybe Jared Allen could help him. But Josh Allen. Josh Allen's a rookie himself. How is he supposed to teach Nathan Peterman anything? He's trying to learn it all. What they signed Derek Anderson. Then he got a concussion. Derek Anderson might have actually been able to help this kid. You know, I usually don't appeal like this, but hey, Atlanta, hey, Dallas, sign Nathan Peterman to, because you have good programs set up to help quarterbacks. Well, Dallas does. I'm not sure Atlanta does. We'll get into that. We'll get into that later. But somebody needs to work with this kid because I think he can. He's got the potential to be able to play in this league. He might be a perennial backup, but hey, not a bad life. Not a bad life. I think it's unfair. Peterman, he didn't get a fair shake. And I'll tag him in this. Nathan Peterman, if you get a chance to listen to this, that's great. I'd love to have you on the show. Now that you're a free agent, it makes it a lot easier. Give you a fair shake. Let you try to weigh in, try to convince some of these teams that they shouldn't give up on you yet. You know? I don't think they should. I don't think they should give up on you. I think somebody should give you a shot. And at the very least, the XFL, the AAF, they're starting up. They're going to need players. They're going to need good quality players. There's CFL. There are places everywhere to where you go there and then you get back in the league. But I don't think you're out of the league yet. So there's my appeal. Maybe to get Nathan Peterman a chance there, you know. Moving on, the Redskins won against the Buccaneers, who continue to kind of flail around. I think maybe they needed a flotation device, a life jacket or something. They're just kind of flailing around the water. But the Redskins stay atop the NFC East. I keep telling everybody they're probably the best of the four, even though the Cowboys aren't looking bad. Philadelphia's heating up. Eli played the best game of the last 2 years. The other night, it's going to be a tight division. I still think the Redskins are probably going to end up figuring it out. But to another division, the Titans continue to strengthen up. They beat the Patriots, actually, 34-10. As who knows what just crashed. We'll have to figure that one out later. That one sounded fun. It was not a person, I can let you know that. And it was not an animal. Although, from the looks of it, she might have had something to do with it. But no, the Titans, they come in. Here it is, once again, somebody from under Belichick comes in and is able to kind of rifle off their best game of the year, picks up the victory. Titans could really use this. They needed that boost, and the Patriots will just reset and probably win the rest of their games. But congratulations to Titans on that. Mariota looked pretty decent. I honestly think it was more the defensive front for the Titans that just beat up the offensive line and got after Brady for the Patriots, and I think that was the difference. I think that was the difference. I really think it was. The Chargers cruise to a win over Oakland, 20-6. I think it's been 8 or 10 quarters since Oakland scored a touchdown. It's just pathetic. It's pathetic. Congratulations to the Chargers for doing what they had to do, getting their business done, and getting the easy win on the board. The Packers get a much-needed win. They're actually going to play against Seattle a little bit later tonight. This should be fun. But they get a win over the ailing Dolphins. Once again, it's a good opportunity to pick up a win. Packers get in and get it done. The Rams hold on to beat the Seahawks. But Seahawks aren't ready to quit. This game was fantastic. Back and forth, just pretty much a heavyweight boxing fight. Seattle had every bit the chance to win, and the Rams were able to hang on to that one as well. Now, the Rams have played a few of these games that have been really, really tight. That's why, you know, for everybody that thinks that the Rams and Chiefs are running away with this year, they're not. They're not. They're not terrible, and they're not on a slide, but they're not. Just keep that in mind. The Cowboys stunned the Eagles, and yes, I will use that, on Sunday Night Football, actually. It was a good win for the Cowboys. The Eagles, once again, they're not the same team as last year. Everybody keeps saying, oh, they're the Super Bowl. No, they're not. They're not the same. They're not the same as that Super Bowl winning team. They're a different kind of team. They're a little banged up. Remember last year, they pretty much escaped the injury bug almost all the way around. They had a lot of keys to their success. Being healthy, you know. Best ability is availability, as Terry Bradshaw says. I actually think Tony Gonzalez said it too. But, yeah, this Cowboys team was able to somehow figure out how to win. They look really good. We'll see how they look this week. Who knows? But, yep, you get the much-needed victory there. The Niners and the Giants for Monday Night Football. The Giants were able to squeak by with a victory there, but this thing went back and forth. You know, people say, well, Nick Mullins lost this game. No, he played pretty solid again. It's first of all, people have film on him, so they're going to start figuring out some things. And two, Shanahan is doing the best he can. He's to his third quarterback. I mean, what else can you possibly say? But much-needed win for Eli and the Giants. So congratulations to them on that. Big-time injuries. You had Cooper Kupp go down with the ACL injury. That's going to put a damper a little bit on the Rams. I don't think they sign anybody. They just promote from within. But it's just that sucks. That's what it does. It sucks. Because Cooper's a really, really good player, good dude. It doesn't matter if he was a terrible guy. You don't want anybody injured. But ACL, he's done for a solid, 8 months. You got Ronald Darby, who tore his ACL as well for the Eagles. Ronald Darby is an unsung hero. So, once again, that one sucks. But the one that sucks the most, for lack of a better word, I'm sure my mom is cringing every time I'm saying the word sucks. Sorry, Mom. It's just not one that fits better here. Dez Bryant, in his first day with the Saints on the practice field, tears his Achilles. It's awful. Tears Achilles. I hate it for Dez. I want him to be able to thrive and still play in this league. I think he's very much capable. It's just that tearing Achilles, that's a solid 8 months too. And that means he's going to lose some speed, a little bit of speed he had left. Now he's going to have to rehab, and he's still a good route runner. Hopefully somebody gives him the opportunity. I don't think he's done playing. I think he's done playing in Dallas. But I was pretty sure of that all around. But you hate to hear that about Dez, and that's just a terrible way for his season to end. We wish him the best. Dez, you're not a free agent, but you're always welcome on this show. And we wish all those guys, Darby, Kupp, and Bryant, all good luck with your with your recovery. It's going to be a weird road, but I think you guys will be okay. The Browns were able to catch the Falcons sleeping. Some people thought maybe they just swapped jerseys for the day. But 28-16, and I don't think it was ever that close. It was the Baker Mayfield story with Nick Chubb co-starring. Imagine that, a Georgia-related player crushing a team out of Atlanta. Stop me when you've heard that. But, you know, it comes down to turnovers. The Falcons had four fumbles. And like I said, Baker and Chubb, they were doing fantastic stuff. There are a lot of playmakers on this Browns team. Greg Williams has got them playing pretty good. I mean, he's getting the opportunity to interview, so I guess we'll see how that goes. But this team, this Browns team is, and they're fun. They've been fun all year. Now they're really going to be fun, though. But, yeah, they get a much-needed victory as well. They needed some to save face. But, yeah, the Falcons. Falcons going to have a problem if they continue to play like this. They really are. I did want to say one of the games we were picking today was moved from Mexico City to L.A. It was terrible field conditions. Apparently, there had been some concerts and some soccer, football games, whatever you want to call them, on the field. And it was terrible conditions. The NFL almost waited to the exact wrong moment, but I know airlines are giving some breaks on people who want to change and go and travel that way, or accommodations, or probably refunds in some chances, because it's going to displace some people. I mean, you know, things like that happen. But, at least the NFL made the right safety call this time around. For once, we didn't have another, what do you call it? What was it? The Hall of Fame game. Yeah, we didn't have that particular thing go haywire wrong. At least, like I said, they always talk about that it's about safety first and it's about all this stuff here. And for once, it's, I believe them. Absolutely believe them. But, I'm going to play a quick commercial. We can find it. There we go. Play a quick commercial when we come back. Got one last pretty funny story, and then we'll do our picks, and we'll be out of here for the night. We'll be right back on Sports Club.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And hey, welcome back here to Sports Club. As always, if you do want to be a part of us, you can call, tweet, text, all the ways to get a hold of us on top of, you know, if you want to sponsor the show, we got many sponsorship opportunities available. Definitely appreciate all you guys that listen to us each and every week. Shout out to all you guys that are getting work done. Real quick, funny story. Apparently, about 30 minutes before the Saints were going to take the field this weekend, the fire alarm went off in the locker room. There was no fire. It just went off on its own. They proved that. There was no danger. This goes on for about 10 minutes. They can't seem to get it cut off. So Sean Payton, the head coach of the Saints, he pretty much thinks the way I do on this and figures out, I know how to stop it. And so he decides to destroy it. Google Sean Payton fire alarm, and they will show you a picture of it. I don't blame him. He said, I'll pay for it. I don't have a problem with that, but it wouldn't stop going off. His guys are trying to get ready for the game. You know, it is what it is. You know, he did what he had to do. It's actually.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
That it definitely is, Homer. But yeah, he destroyed the fire alarm. I once again, don't have a problem with it whatsoever. Now let's get into our picks. Reggie's not going to be able to join us, which is unfortunate because I feel like he probably had a solid bet idea because he knows what side I could fall on some of these games. Real quickly, let's see. Let's start game number one. This one is going to be tonight. The Green Bay Packers will be at the Seattle Seahawks. At Seattle is very the telling thing here. Because I think whoever the home team is has an advantage. Both these teams absolutely need this win. And the loser of this game is going to have a bigger hole to climb out of than they're in right now. Reggie took Green Bay. Cote Wood Hill, he took Green Bay. Cody Elias, 95.7 the game out in the Bay Area. He took Seattle. So, no homer. And I'm taking Seattle as well. Green Bay's defense was passable. And then they traded Clinton Dix, the second best safety in the league. I mean, still got Clay Matthews, still got some other guys there. But it's Russell Wilson with weapons. And I'm not sure I like their defense either. If this becomes a score fest, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but Russell Wilson is a little more reliable in this scenario. So give me Seattle. Sunday night football. You got the Minnesota Vikings going to Chicago, to Soldier Field there, whatever, to face the Bears. And a spoiler alert, this may be the only time you hear this during this particular segment.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
We have all sold Minnesota down the river. We're all on Da Bears' side on this one. Shout out to Uncle Larry and Aunt Sharona once again up in Chicago. And Uncle Ron and Aunt Rita. They're some fantastic people. Shout out to them up in Chicago. I know you guys will be watching that. Taking Chicago. Monday Night Football. This game is now played in L.A., remember? The Kansas City Chiefs will be taking on the Los Angeles Rams. Well, Cody took the Rams. Coach, He also took the Rams. Reggie took Kansas City. This is a tough game. Like I said, these teams have showed that they can falter a little bit here. Mahomes, dealing with the fact that his the father of his girlfriend passed away right after the game. He was at the game right after the other day. Dealing with that. I'm going to have to take the Rams. Not because of that. But if this becomes a score fest, the Rams, I like the Rams' defense better than I do Kansas City's. Not by much. But I like him a little bit. So, you know, Reggie's on an island on that one. Now, that brings us to the feature game. Where the my Dallas Cowboys, we'll be here in Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Spoiler alert, trust me. You're not hearing Homer. Reggie, of course, took the Atlanta Falcons. His Atlanta Falcons. All right. Coach Haywood Hill, he took Atlanta. He said this is going to be a time for them to try to get out the win. It's going to be a good win for them. Cody Elias. He took the Dallas Cowboys. And unless he calls me out on a Facebook video, right now, I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? I think Atlanta is struggling and potentially crumbling. They are getting Deion Jones back. I believe he's at least on the practice field. But, no, I think Dallas is going to take that momentum of beating Philadelphia, one of the biggest rivalries, the defending Super Bowl champ, beating them on Sunday Night Football. I think they're going to take that, and they're going to figure out a way to get a win here. So to recap, myself and Cody took Seattle at home, where Coach and Reggie took Green Bay. All of us are on Team Chicago as they face Minnesota in Chicago. And in a game that was moved from Mexico City to a place with a lot better turf, apparently, in L.A. at the Coliseum. Reggie took the visiting Kansas City Chiefs, and the rest of us took the Rams. And then finally, Reggie and Coach took the Falcons. Myself and Cody took the Dallas Cowboys. You know, is what is. Those are our picks. Appreciate you guys joining us. That is going to do it for this week's sports club called Showdown. I guess the Showdown didn't really happen. It is a Showdown, though, because there's some games. Enjoy Green Bay, Seattle. But for Cody, for Coach, for Reggie, for everybody else here at Impact Media, we will see you guys next week. How about them Cowboys?
clear without the bam. Yeah, okay. Bam! What?